Welcome to Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my longtime friend and broadcast partner, Maggie Linton.
And this is the 280th episode of Travelitch Radio. Every week at 8 p.m. East, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the wonderful world of travel.
And our special guest tonight is Donna Shore of Visit Philadelphia. Welcome, Donna, to Travelitch Radio.
Thanks so much. I'm thrilled to be here, Dan.
Well, thank you. W.C. Fields once said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. But I disagree. I love Philadelphia, and I'm glad I live close enough in northern New Jersey to make many visits. Donna, Philadelphia has so many attractions, it's hard to pick one. So let's start at the beginning with Independence Hall and the Declaration of Independence. They're at the heart of America's most historic square mile. So would you tell our listeners exactly what that is?
Well, sure. We have what we call our Independence National Historic Park, and within that there is a certain number of blocks that include our most important historic structures, and what I like to say is they're not recreations. They're the actual buildings where our country began and where it was debated for our first most important historic documents, and you can still see those buildings today, and that includes our Independence Hall, and you can also, while you're in that area, visit the Liberty Bell Center, First Bank of the United States, and so many other really important historic treasures.
Well, I love Philadelphia, Donna, and Independence Day is always a big deal in Philly. Please give us a sneak preview of what's happening this year that makes it special.
Right, and we always celebrate, of course, in the birthplace of America is a perfect place to celebrate Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have every year something called Welcome America. It's actually Wawa Welcome America, thanks to our sponsor. And this year, for 2018, it'll be 7 days, beginning on June 28th. We start a little bit early, and there's 50-plus free events citywide, and that includes parties and movie nights and fireworks and concerts and so much more.
That's a full
day. William Penn statue stands atop City Hall at Broad and Market. Was he the true founder of Philadelphia, even though Ben Franklin was probably the city's favorite son and certainly
more
famous?
You're right, and most people do associate Philadelphia, we're glad, with Ben Franklin because his footprint's all over, but our true founder was a man named William Penn, and his father was bequested the state of Pennsylvania by King George II in England, and so it was a nice little prize to get as a reward. So William Penn was sent over to America and established Philadelphia, and we're so happy he did.
Did Franklin fly his famous kite with a key in Philadelphia?
He actually did do that, and the year was 1752.
That was a historic day. Well,
it certainly was.
You can see the Liberty Bell and get a real good handle on American history at the National Constitution Center. And I love it. It's such a cool place. My only regret is I didn't allow enough time to see everything. People really need to take just a day there, don't they?
Absolutely. It's a very large institution, and it's the only museum devoted to our American Constitution. And they always have traveling and moving exhibits, and they do have one now based on Hamilton. And because of his great popularity on Broadway, he's become a subject of a lot of interest of a lot of Americans, and so they have a special exhibition right now just on that man.
Well, and how long is that going to run?
And I think that'll be good through about September, early September.
Okay. So anybody coming into town for the 4th of July can also see some of that, too.
Absolutely. Huh? It gives you another good reason to celebrate and enjoy history with your family in a historic town.
Well, speaking of history, the newest museum in town is called the National Museum of the American Revolution. Where in town is it located, and how extensive is it?
That's in the heart of what we call Historic Philadelphia, or Old City Philadelphia. It's at 3rd and Chestnut Streets, and there's nearly 500 artifacts and thousands of other objects from the American Revolution. There's 10 theaters inside, and I think the most exciting exhibit is they actually have George Washington's tent. It's very frail, but it's in one of the theaters, and they do a presentation at certain times, and you can't actually touch it because it's too frail, but you see it behind glass, and it's a beautiful moving exhibition. So it's really something special to see and share with those you love.
Oh, well, we're talking with Donna Shore of Visit Philadelphia. Dan?
Donna, the National Museum of American Jewish History is a relatively recent addition to America's most historic square mile. I was bowled over, really impressed, and would love to come back. Would you talk about that just for a minute?
I love that museum. It's a very modern one, and again, it's in our historic district where so many wonderful attractions are. And again, they do wonderful traveling exhibitions for people who are really interested in some of our famous Jewish friends. You can see Steven Spielberg's, one of his original cameras, Irving Berlin's piano. I mean, there's just amazing things in there. And the newest exhibition, which is just opened and will be there till beginning September, is a Leonard Bernstein one. So that's really something to look forward to as well.
And we talked about Benjamin Franklin. The Franklin Institute is a great science museum with a planetarium and one of Philadelphia's institutions. I remember coming there on school trips, and my daughter and granddaughter have done the same. What makes the Franklin so appealing?
I think it's a wonderful place because it's got something for every age range. You can bring a very little child. They have a train room. You can bring an older child. They have something to appeal to the grown-ups and to the kids. They have a planetarium. They have an IMAX theater. You could truly spend an entire day at the Franklin Institute and keep the entire family entertained. So I think that's a big deal. Right now they have a new exhibition on called Game Masters with 100 playable games, and I know kids are nuts about that stuff these days.
Yeah, the Franklin's one of my favorite locations, too.
Mm-hmm.
But when you consider that, 40% of the nation's population lives within a day's drive of Philadelphia. Do most visitors come by plane, train, or automobile? Or when you look at the Amish area, they could even be coming by carriage, huh?
That's true. But we usually say, and I think it's true, that we are a driving destination.
Mm-hmm.
And after September 11th, we were lucky because people still felt secure enough to pile their kids in the car. And we always say about 25% of the U.S. population lives within a five-hour drive, which is pretty easy. So
mm-hmm.
you can kind of feel safe putting the kids in the back of the car and driving here and having a wonderful experience without traveling too far.
Well, it's an amazing place. There are a lot of conventions and business meetings in Philly. In fact, the last time I was there, that's what I was there for. So how many hotel rooms do you have? And let's talk restaurants, because you can name a few. But
absolutely.
I remember one place that specialized in colonial cuisine, like peanut soup that George Washington ate.
Yes, and you're talking about City Tavern, and
mm-hmm.
it's a recreation of a tavern that was there during the Revolution, and you can be sure our founding fathers were having a brewski right there while they were making decisions about how our government should be run. And it was actually probably safer than the water at the time, so it's okay to think about them doing that. But we have in the center city area now, we have about 11,447 rooms. But, of course, that changes by the day because new buildings are going up. We have
mm-hmm.
new hotels. We're anticipating a Four Seasons that will be coming back to Philadelphia probably late this year. And so we have all price ranges for hotel accommodations and all over the city. So there's lots of good choices to make.
Well, I'll tell you, Philadelphia has its own taste, and I really
mm-hmm.
mean that. But is the Reading Terminal Market the best place to find a good Philly cheesesteak?
Well, you know, I get that question a lot, and I have to tell you, if you ask 10 Philadelphians what the best cheesesteak is in town, you will get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
I have a personal favorite, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of people think of down in South Philly, the Pat's and Gino's
mm-hmm.
competition. But it is a traditional Philly food that everybody wants to know about. And if you go on our wonderful website under Food and Drink, we even have a section on how-to cheesesteak, where cheesesteaks are available, because there's a best, you know, a specific system for how you order it, or you'll get yelled at a lot. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to also add that, you know, the Reading Food Market, Terminal Market, it's just a great place to find a variety of foods, too.
Absolutely. You'll see
yeah.
just about any kind of Philly food there. And it just celebrated its 125th birthday. It's an amazing place, and it's a place I think everybody who comes to Philadelphia should go and experience.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Maggie Linton. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking with Donna Shore of Visit Philadelphia. Donna, one thing that really impressed me about Philadelphia is all the green spaces, especially the Champs-Élysées of America, leading from
ooh,
downtown
ooh.
To the Franklin Institute. And I'm also
right.
a big fan of the Philadelphia Zoo. How many parks mm-hmm. and recreational areas do you have?
Well, we have probably dozens, but it's really hard. I couldn't even get anybody to give me a number when I asked around. I can tell you we're home to Fairmount Park, which is 2,000-plus acres. I call it Philadelphia's backyard. It's actually five times larger than Central Park, which people are amazed to hear. But it is true. It's a wonderful park in Philadelphia, and it's home of a Japanese garden. It's where so many Philadelphians go to barbecue and have a family event. It was actually home to the very first World's Fair, which not everybody knows. And we do have a museum there, and in the basement of the Please Touch Museum, you can actually see a diorama of the original World's Fair, which is a pretty exciting thing to see.
You know what year
well,
that
was? You just
was?
Told me something.
Mm-hmm.
What year?
What year, Donna?
What year was the first exposition, which
yes.
is what was before they called it? In fact, I'm going to look that up myself. I hate to say it, but
okay.
First World's Fair. I will look that up.
Because I know the 1904 was in St. Louis, and I didn't know of, you know, I know they've been around for a while, but that's really interesting. I did not realize that Philly was the birthplace, which is pretty
cool.
Yeah.
I think there was a World Exposition in Chicago in 1893, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm. Wow.
But I'm going by memory here.
Okay.
Anyway,
the
let's move on a little bit.
The Centennial International Exhibition, the first official World's Fair in the United States, was held in Philadelphia, 1876.
Wow.
There you go.
To celebrate
yeah.
the 100th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So who knew? How about that?
Well, we do now.
And that's also
when
the Smithsonian Museum. Didn't the Smithsonian also begin in 1876?
The Please Touch Museum, yeah. And it's what's amazing is when you see the diorama, you realize this enormous, enormous building, which houses our wonderful children's museum, was not the biggest building in the exposition area because you're so overwhelmed by the size and you go, oh, my gosh, that was just one of the big buildings and certainly not the largest. So it gives you a sense of scale, which is pretty interesting to see.
Wow.
Okay. And speaking of recreation, South Street
yes.
is a great place to see and be seen and is even the subject of a song by the Orlans. Please share, Donna.
I'm not going to sing Where All the Hippies Meet, but that was the famous song, I can tell you both. And it's also home to one of my favorite Philadelphians, I consider one of the world's oldest hippies, a mosaic artist named Isaiah Zagar. And Isaiah settled on South Street. He actually was in the Peace Corps with his wife in the mid-60s and then moved somewhere in the 70s and 80s onto South Street and started that first arts movement. And I'm old enough, I'm afraid to say, to have been around during that time period. But he has kept this wonderful place called the Magic Garden on 10th and South Street. And his wife, Julia, has a wonderful place called the Gallery, Eyes Gallery, which is at 4th and South, right next to my favorite cheese steak place, I might say, which is Jim Steaks. And then if you go farther up on South Street, you come to the Magic Garden, which Isaiah Zagar's made into a fabulous place that even Michelle Obama has visited. So it's really cool, and that's at 1020 South Street.
She knows the location.
All right. I know the location.
Well, you have another great art museum that is really famous in Philadelphia, but I wonder whether Rocky really ran up those stairs.
You know, he actually did. In fact, the famous statue still sits at the bottom of the museum, and it was a movie prop, which people are just astonished by, but it really was just a movie prop. In fact, Sylvester Stallone was back in town recently because he's filming another Creed movie, and he went up to the statue just to surprise people who had gone there, and people were shocked to see him there, and he did run up the steps in the movie. You can even see in the concrete his little foot. He didn't have big feet, but if you turn around and do the dance, which they always do, any tourist usually goes up and runs up the steps, and you get a fabulous view of Philadelphia from the top of the Philadelphia Museum of Art steps. And, you know, the Art Commission wasn't too happy that the statue came back, and I said, if we get those folks that much closer to all that beautiful art, that's a good thing. So if they run up the steps and then they realize there's a beautiful building up there, hopefully they will go in next time. So that's my feeling about it.
They really need to go in. And in addition to Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, how many Revolutionary War artifacts can visitors find in Philadelphia? I know the house where Betsy Ross lived is still standing, along with many other structures that date back to colonial times.
Right. Well, we just redid our website, I'm very proud to say, which is www.visitphilly.com. And on that site, you can actually go to something called the American Revolutionary Trail. And on that trail, it tells you different sites, dozens of sites in the city and the region that you can visit. And, of course, we've got the Museum of the American Revolution, which has so many artifacts in there. So if you don't get your fill at the Museum of the American Revolution, you can follow the trail along on our website.
That's cool. Dan?
Well, Donna, I recently ran across a press release from your office outlining the heroics of 19 Philadelphia women who helped win the Revolutionary War. We'd love to hear about a couple of those.
Well, I will tell you one of them, and when you go to the Museum of the American Revolution, there isn't a whole section on the women, but they were very important, and there's different little plaques throughout the museum that does honor them. One of the women I'm very proud of is Abigail Adams, the wife of John Adams, and she made sure, she said to her husband, and was quoted saying, you know, make sure you don't forget about the ladies, just reminding him how important some of those women were in the Revolution. Certainly, Martha Washington did a whole lot for the troops. Abigail was a spokesperson. I want to make sure that a lot of American women were credited. And so there were a lot of important women, I think, and you can certainly see some of them highlighted in that Museum of the American Revolution as well.
And I'm intrigued by something called Elfrith Alley, which has to be the narrowest street in America, and also Penn's Landing along the Delaware River. Please tell our listeners a little bit about both.
Well, Elfrith Alley is the oldest continually residential street in America. It's a beautiful street with cobblestones in the middle, and you'll see about 300 years worth of architecture on that one street. And it's really quite beautiful, and if you choose to live there, because it's all houses that people, regular old people, live in, you have to sort of agree to be peeked in upon, because people love to wander down the street, take their pictures, and peek in the windows, which is completely understandable. And there is a house museum in the middle of that street, Elfrith Alley, and also twice a year they do a celebration where they open up the houses and you pay for a ticket and you can go in and see these houses that people are living in. And it's a really fun experience. So that happens at Christmas time. They call it Deck the Alley. And then in the summer, there's a fete day. And so Elfrith Alley is always a special treat. I love to take people who are new to Philadelphia there to get a real sense for what old Philadelphia was like. You really do feel like you're going back in time when you walk down that street. And then you also mentioned Penn's Landing, which is a beautiful waterfront area. It's taken us a long time in Philadelphia, but we probably finally figured out the right things to do with our waterfront. And so it was named in honor of William Penn, as we said, the founder of Philadelphia, for Penn's Landing. But it's also home to seasonal parks, and the big thriller is the Spruce Street Harbor Park, which gets lots of awards for summertime fun down there on the water, and they have swan boats you can rent, and some of our best restaurateurs and chefs have like cargo boxes down there where you can buy some food. It's not quite as expensive as other places. There's a little barge where you can get drinks on the water and light snacks. And then that's converted to something called the Blue Cross River Rink Winterfest area in the wintertime. And we have a big ice skating rink in there. So we're finally figured out how to make really good use of that public space down on the waterfront, and it's called the Penn's Landing area. So that's a really great place, and families love it, and dates love it, and it's just a really beautiful, lots of twinkling lights. Finally, a way to appreciate our Delaware River waterfront so well in the summertime and in the wintertime. So lots of fun down there.
You know, when I think about it, it's really gone through some dramatic changes in the last 15 years.
Absolutely.
Because it was like kind of like, well, what are we going to do with this? And you all figured it out. So that's what's really wonderful. Once again, we're talking with Donna Shore of Visit Philadelphia. For visitors who want to make maximum mileage for a minimum time, would you recommend a hop-on, hop-off bus or duck tours or maybe a horse-drawn carriage ride or something else?
Well, I think because there's so much to do and sometimes people want to pack it in a short amount of time, we are fortunately a walking city. We're only 25 blocks, city blocks from river to river, which makes it really easy for walking. But if you've got a little one on your arm or if you don't walk so well yourself, I think the best way to go, we do have these hop-on, hop-off boxes, and they're called the Big Bus, but we also have a little purple, what we call it, a flash bus. And it goes around the city, you know, drop off, drop on, and you can get an all-day pass for $5, individual rides are $2, or we just offered this year for the first time a two-day pass for $7, which I think is a steal. And during the holiday season, which begins around May 1, it does operate every day, and you can go all around the city you know, as far as the zoo, I mean, it's just an opportunity, and it runs every 15 minutes. So you can really get to all the big sites and make the most use of your time for not too much money. So I highly recommend the Flash Bus.
Okay, so how can Travel Itch Radio listeners learn even more about Philadelphia? You gave the website, but do it again.
I'd love to, because we just redesigned it and we're very proud of it. So it's www.visitphilly.com. We also have something we call an insider blog. So if you know you're coming next week, you want to know where the best beer garden would be open for that time period, you can go on to uwish, W-I-S-H, letter U, letter N-U, you wish you knew, you.com. So it's a little confusing, but it's www.unu.com. And that's our insider blog. So, again, for, like, most up-to-date information about something you might want to do in the very near future when you're visiting. But you can always get all the good general information and details on everything at visitphilly.com. We hope you'll make good use of it.
I've got to ask you about the Philadelphia Flower Show. I know you just had it, but that's a really big deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of our biggest ticket sellers, if not the largest ticket seller for Philadelphia every year. And it's a wonderful way to welcome spring. And it certainly didn't feel like spring this year, but it was nice to be able to go somewhere where it smelled good and you could see flowers growing. And it's not just for anyone who just wants to see greenery. It's a place where they do classes and they have opportunities for interesting foods. And there's a wonderful spot where you can buy anything a gardener might be interested in. So there's lots of different opportunities at it. It's more than just a place to go and smell and see pretty flowers.
Philadelphia.
Since we're talking about flowers, about flowers and spring, how about sports? The Phillies are back in action.
Oh my goodness, we are a
how
city of winners
Eagles?
Right now, aren't we, Dan? We are a city of winners between
we'll
the
football.
Eagles
That's
and the Sixers and the Flyers. We are excited and happy, and we're going to take it as far as we can take it.
And the 76ers are doing very well this
yes,
year.
Yes, they
too.
Are. I'm a basketball fan, so for me that is
are
particularly
you?
Exciting. And then Villanova just had a great win.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We're flying high right now.
Yes, you are. I think we also need to talk about how strong Philadelphia was with the Underground Railroad, too.
Yes.
Definitely
and,
a strong presence.
Yes, and in both the city and the region. And
mm-hmm.
we do have sites that people can visit. And, again, on our website, you can find information about that as well. We have the Johnson House, which is in our Germantown area, which is within city limits. And that was a place that was an Underground Railroad stop and a very famous one. And there really are – our Germantown area has a lot of that history, and you can
mm-hmm.
see it all over the region as well. So – again, I know there's a lot of good sites in, like, Chester County and such, and people always only think of the city, but they shouldn't, because this whole area was very – that was a very important feature of it.
Yeah.
And I am a huge fan of trains and trolleys, and you have a great system of public transportation. And from what I understand, if you're over 65 and you can show your – Medicare card, it's free.
Right.
Am I correct
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. You were exactly right. And it's funny because you mentioned that because a friend of mine just asked me about that, and that is correct. If you live here, there is a place to go to actually get your pass for regular use. But you're right. You can just show a card, and you can get on that public transportation if you are of the right age.
Huh.
And you can take
that's
you can easily
to
get
mind.
This. Well, a lot of the sports stadiums are in South Philadelphia, and you can take the
Correct.
Broad Street line, I think that's the red line, all the way to
and
the stadiums, right there.
Absolutely the easiest and best way to get to the stadium, so you don't have to think about parking or worry about expensive parking and such. And because all our teams are doing well, that is the best way to get there.
Yeah.
And you also have a great airport. This is a national show, so tell
mm-hmm.
people about the airport a little bit.
We have a very well-respected airport. I'm there a lot because I do a lot of business travel, and I have to say our food has increased in leaps and bounds, and the quality of what you can get to eat, and there's a nice shopping section at our Philadelphia airport as well. So we do have lots of good international flights. I think the service is good getting in, and the terminals are pretty easy for things you might need as someone who's getting ready to leave somewhere. So I think it's a really good one, and I've been in a lot of airports. So, and we even have some really interesting art within the airport itself. So there's different art exhibitions. I know a few other airports do that, but ours is, we're particularly proud of ours as well.
Yeah.
And Donna,
but I think
one of the great landmarks
is definitely international.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great landmarks of Philadelphia is 30th Street Station, where Amtrak comes in.
Yes. And that's a beautiful historic building. And
mm-hmm.
some of the Amtrak stations along the East Coast are really quite glorious. And
mm-hmm.
that was also a movie site for those of us of a certain age. They remember that. And so it's just a glorious building and a quite dramatic one as well.
Yeah.
And for those
it's
of
special.
You listening in the Northeast, it's really easy to hop a train to get into Philadelphia very easily. You don't need a car. Take the mass transit. You can take subway or trolley right from 30th Street Station.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're only really about a 90-minute train ride from New York. When I bring New Yorkers and they say, oh, my God, it was nothing. And I say, that's what I tried to tell you. Washington is more like a two-hour train ride. But New York City is really about 90 minutes, which is terrific.
I've had friends who have lived in Philly and worked in New York, and, you know, it's,
yes.
it's just a great commuter way, too, because they
yes.
can find housing in Philly where they can in New York,
exactly.
and it's worth
You'll
the
find,
chance.
Like, actors will now
mm-hmm.
move to Philadelphia because you can't afford even to share an apartment in New York anymore,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what they will do. They'll go up for their audition, and then they'll come back and you know, sleep in their apartment in Philadelphia because it's just so much less expensive.
Yeah.
And we are much less expensive as a destination than Washington, D.C. or New York City, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like
Donna,
said,
is there anything
food,
that we,
people.
Anything that we have not asked you that you would like to add?
Just that we always have a fabulous overnight hotel package that people can take advantage of, and just all they need to do is Google, you know, Philly overnight hotel package. It's on every season of the year, includes free hotel parking. So, again, as we mentioned, we're walking distance. Once you get here, you can leave the car. It stays overnight for free, and you can just walk everywhere or take that little flash bus. And that's a big deal because, as you probably know, city parking gets ridiculously expensive. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good deal. And we have a spring, but if you were coming, for instance, for July 4th or you were coming later in the year, you can always book ahead, and you'll still be eligible for whatever package is on for later in the year. So it's always good to book ahead if you can.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we've whet somebody's appetite for Philly.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hope so. But thank you for letting me get in the name of our website two times, because we are very excited about that. And, of course, our restaurant scene is exploding and wonderful, so there's something for every size wallet, I say, and really good food and international food everywhere you look in Philadelphia. So that's always a part of the traveling experience, and it's easy to have a good experience in Philadelphia.
Well said, yeah. Donna. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Our special
okay.
guest tonight has been Donna Shore of Visit Philadelphia. Thank you for joining Travelitch Radio.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. A pleasure, Donna. Nice to talk
okay,
to you,
you take
after,
care.
After quite a while. That's great.
Okay.
And,
bye-bye now.
And listeners, before we go, I want to remind you guys, it's not too early to start thinking about Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, bar mitzvahs, and birthdays. So for the baseball fans in the audience, try my books, When the Braves Ruled the Diamond, 14 Flags Over Atlanta, or the new Baseball Bible, both from Sports Publishing. Check them out on Amazon.com or in the sports sections of major booksellers. And that's it for this edition of Travelitch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, our guest will be Michael Alpiner of the website ExtremeLuxuryGetaways.com. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with Maggie Linton, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.